podcast listeners. This is Chris Otter, lead pastor of Neighborhood Church of Cloquet. And if you heard that, you might be thinking, wait a second, weren't we the Cloquet Vineyard Church? Exactly. We have transitioned out of the Vineyard movement and now are called the Neighborhood Church of Cloquet. And to get more answers to all the questions that are bouncing around in your head, please go to neighborhoodchurchmn.org, where there's a brief video that I share of how and why we transition where we're going. And if you find that these messages bring something good and beautiful to your life, that they are inspiring, that they are life-giving, well, we invite you to do the same thing that today that you'll hear that we invite our whole church to as we go through this transition. First one is this, is show up or maybe like speak up. If you live in this vicinity, we'd love to meet you. I'd love to be able to put a face to your name of saying, hey, I've been listening to this for the last 3 years. Or go on to our website and go to the contact and send me an email saying, hey, I love this community. I support this community. And second thing is this, if you really do find meaning and belonging and these messages are life-giving, we are encouraging our whole entire community to give generously financially. And if you'd like to invest in this community, you can give online, again, at neighborhoodchurchmn.org. So I hope that this message of our transition brings energy, it brings heaven, and it brings Jesus to your doorstep. Have a good and beautiful day, friends. Well, good morning, friends. How you doing? One person did a woo. Good. It's Viking Sunday. Who's all jacked up? Yeah, the people wearing the jerseys. That's you're obviously the ones. There's no Falcons fans here. No, there's not. All right. Well, my name's Chris. We and I had the chance to meet. My wife Nikki and I are lead pastors. And thanks for coming out. We are starting a new series, and it's called Mastering. And I have to remember what it is. It's called Mastering the Art of Being Human. And I'm going to read a quote. The master of the art of living makes little distinction between his work and his play, his labor and his leisure, his mind and his body, his education and his recreation, his love and his religion. He simply pursues his vision of excellence in whatever he does, leaving others to decide whether he is working or playing. To him, he's always doing both. And I read this past week, and I love it. Because we all want some better experience, right? We all want some better vision, some more higher excellence in our life. We all want to be masters of something, right? Like, think of all the things that you have mastered. Like for me, stress eating. That was like number one. I've mastered that. Maybe you have mastered like the art of avoiding eye contact in Walmart. Right? Maybe you have mastered a hobby or a skill. Maybe you are like, you have mastered the discipline of getting up and reading your Bible or doing yoga. Like, there's not many things that people have mastered. The one I think that all of us would want is being a good human. But it's like how I talk at weddings. I did a wedding yesterday on Madeline Island. And when I talk about getting married, I talk about at weddings, it's we all want a good one. I've never met anyone who says, man, I hope my marriage falls apart. I can't wait for that, right? But sadly, a lot of them do. It's like we treat relationships or friendships like it's like some cosmic accident. Like you bump into someone like, huh, I think we're friends. I hope we resent each other in a couple years, right? It takes purpose. You have to do relationships, you have to do marriage, you have to do friendships, has to be on purpose to master that friendship. The same thing with being a human. Sometimes we just think like, oh, it'll just all work out. Like in 10, 15 years, we'll just, like, I'll end up being really happy and really content, and I'll be the really cool old lady on the porch just smiling at everyone, right? No, you're probably, like Biz, you might end up being not being that person, but the person sitting on the porch yelling at everyone walking by, like, get off my grass, right? Like, you don't end up there on by accident. It is on purpose. So how do we actually do this? Because it takes a lot of hard work to master anything. To be a good human takes a lot of intentionality, of resilience, and just time. So where do we get these ideas of this great mastering the art of being human? The ancient scriptures for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years has pointed us to some key simple things of how we can be flourishing, what I'd call good and beautiful, but today for the series we're calling it Mastering the Art of Being Human. Where we start is just being here. Just being here. I'm really bad at just being here. Is anyone else also like that? You're bad at being present in the moment. Yes, Nicole's waving her hand like, right here, right? Like I am the captain of this team. When I go on a vacation is all about relaxing, right? When I go on vacation, I wake up in the morning and I have to go get a cup of coffee and a newspaper, even though I don't read the newspaper, right? I read it on my phone. But if I'm somewhere else, it's like, gotta go. And Nikki's like, why don't we have coffee here? It's like, that's not the point, all right? I have to go somewhere else so I can come back and then be somewhere else again, all right? This is not natural to me. It takes a lot of intentionality. It literally takes like effort and work for me to pause and say, I don't need to go get the newspaper, right? I can save the money. And there's a lot of us out there where we are driven, or that's the word we use. I'm just so driven, right? It's where we consume too many things. We waste a lot of time. We have anxiety. We're stressed out. We're always on the go, 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 go. And why is that? Because there's something in our culture that communicates to us that there might just not be enough. We call it scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset is if I don't get my kid into the best program, into the best sports, at the right time, in the best school, then they're never going to have a job, right? It's like if I don't get the right things at the right time, then the rest of their life, there's just not enough good jobs, not enough good schools, enough good soccer teams, enough good programs. We do this with our work of like, there's just not enough like advanced placements. There's not enough of the special bonuses. And so we work more and more and more and more. And we do this everywhere of thinking, I need to grasp and clasp. And I need to have more pleasure. I need to consume more. I need to be more. And that is celebrated, right? We look at people in business and they're like, what's the show, How I Built This? I love that show. I love entrepreneurialism. And they talk about, yeah, I worked for like 72 hours straight and lost my family, but I got this business. We're like, you did it. Yeah. Right? It's you always have to be on the go because you are winning when you produce. And how is that working for you? Right? All this time, all this energy, all this anxiety, all this fear, is it actually working for us? Like the question I love to ask at my 20th class reunion, I went around and asked as many people as possible of like, are you happy? We haven't talked in 20 years, right? Are you happy? And when you ask that question to people, especially in a loud bar, they're not expecting it, right? And say, are you happy? And people pause because you have to think about it, right? I don't walk around every day and saying, am I happy? Okay, today, am I still happy, right? And I'm an eternal optimist, so my answer is always like, always, of course I am, right? But if I take time, step back and evaluate, does me working a 14-hour day, did it actually get to where I want it to be, right? And there's times where I do work a 14-hour day and I'm like, this was the best use of my time. Most of the time I work, you know, longer hours, it's like, oh yeah, I didn't need to do this. I didn't need to answer that phone call. I didn't need to get that ready. It's like being present, being in the moment, at least for people like me, feels risky. It even feels a little intimidating. It even feels a little bit like a little being naked. Because if I'm here in this moment, what if it's not enough? And what I've learned over these years of practicing on being content, working on my anxiety and my mental health, being okay of being in that conversation. Because I have some really good friends that have no problem being here, right? It's usually when I'm saying, hey, let's go do all these things. They're like, nah. I just want to be here. I'm like, are you nuts? There's all these things that we can consume, all these things that we can produce, but it doesn't always work. If you actually like look around, I would say, are people even happy? Not just like, are you happy? Are we looking around? Is this the kind of community? Is this the kind of culture? Is this the kind of society that we want? Is this what I want for my kids? So lucky for us, the Bible speaks to this often. And one that I bring up a lot is, and something I pray and I meditate on, is Psalm 23. Because it speaks to how can we be engaged? How can we be present? How can we actually experience the best life possible? And I think it's up on the screen. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd and I lack absolutely nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's several things in here of how we can master the art of being human when we can slow down and when we can realize that we lack nothing. Because in different versions it says, I have no needs. I have no wants. I lack absolutely nothing. This is a thing only someone who is very confident of themselves, right? That's like someone who slaps their own back. It's like, I got it. I'm under control. I have no needs. Truth is, we walk through this life with being very, very needy. And this psalmist is starting the whole thing off saying, if God is good, I am safe. Because really, that's what it says. If I lack nothing, if I have no needs, I don't need to go into that culture of the grasping, clasping. I just need to produce more. I need to get more. If I lack nothing, I can actually rest. I can be here. I'm safe. Like the real me is not a threat to get something else, to avoid something else. I can be exactly who I am in this space, in this time, in this body. And that is difficult for me. To think I lack nothing. That means that this God has everything I might need. And can I trust that kind of God? And if I lack nothing, right, then how am I supposed to use my time? It means I can rest. Right? Is anyone else here like the world's worst napper? Right? People talk about napping, and I'm like, no, we don't do that, right? We are not five anymore. We have to do what? Just walk around our yard? I have more Netflix. That's very important that we watch this, right? Something in my head says, you're accomplishing something. I'm not, right? I'm friends with you. I'm not accomplishing anything. But it's hard to get to the point of rest, especially when you see people or things on social media, things that just like rob you of being in that moment. We all have that person or those people, right, on social media. Like they start like posting something and you roll your eyes, right? We all have them. The eye roll, right? So the reason that can rob us, the reason that can stick with us, right? I just learned this, is that we have a negativity bias. Our minds have a negativity bias. We are hardwired. Our ancestors needed to have negative things that would stick to the brain right away. And here's why. If they're walking down, our ancestors are walking down, and a lion jumps out, that's a negative experience. They need to remember, lion not friend, right? Lion thinks I'm food, and they'd have to use that in order to survive. This is why gossip, right? Gossip has helped the human species actually survive because they would have to talk and say, hey, do you remember the lion? Not a friend, all right? Pass it along, all right? Or crazy Gary lives down the street. Yeah, not a safe person. Avoid crazy Gary, all right? It's not a joke, all right? It's true. It's like that gossip really helped our species continue on. And negativity bias, the reason that when you can go through your whole day, and you sit down and people can give you like a wave in the car and you're like, oh, that was nice. Someone say, I really like your earrings. And you're like, oh, wow, thank you. All right. But one person in the left-hand lane doesn't go as fast as you want them to and the world explodes, right? And you remember the whole day, you're like, that guy in the car wasn't driving fast enough. I had to slow down, right? Like, why does that stick but not the earrings, right? And what they're talking about is if we have to rewire our brains in order to experience joy, in order to experience happiness, it is way too easy to be bitter, This is why it's easy to complain. This is why it takes effort to say, no, yeah, I'd love to have you come over. That's a great idea. Yeah, it's Sunday night at 8 p.m. Yeah, pop in. That's wonderful, all right? Your first thing, your reaction is to be angry, right? And what this doctor recommends is that you have to spend 15 to 20 seconds, I'm going to use that a lot, right? 15 to 20 seconds of being present with something beautiful. 15, 20 seconds of holding in your mind that experience of someone saying nice earrings. 15 to 20 seconds of holding it in your mind, right? And focusing on it. And it goes from like, oh, that was a really nice thing. And it goes, wait, for it to like really absorb into your mind, into your heart, into your body. It takes work. But isn't this what we all want? And if you lack nothing, if you can feel safe, then you don't have to self-protect. Saying, I can't go into that store. I can't walk down because what if I see someone? Like I've heard from several people, like as we've gone through this transition, all right, into neighborhood church, people are like, well, what if I run into someone that used to be a part of this church? Like, what do I do? Do I run away? No, you don't, right? If you bump into someone, you say, how are you? Right? Write that down. How are you doing, all right? But it feels, if I say it at first, right, you feel like, yeah, it does feel weird. Why? Because we're afraid of awkward conversations? Yeah, of course we are. We're afraid that we're going to say, like, well, what team are you on? Well, we're on teams? No, right? Like, you don't know. You can't control the whole thing. Why? Because you feel like I'm either going to screw it up, we're going to get angry. It's like, no, the reason that we're good humans isn't because of what church we go to, right? It's not who we vote for. It's not what team we cheer for, except the Falcons, right? Right? And there's times we feel like, no, this is the most important thing. It's not. The most important thing of being a flourishing human is that we're safe. We lack nothing, and we can show up in this world. We can show up at Aldi. We can show up at work and realize that I can experience good things. And if there's something crazy that happens, if someone is angry, if it's a beautiful conversation, I still lack nothing. Why? Because I am safe. Then it goes on in talking about how we walk through all these like twisted paths and how we show up. And even in the midst of our enemies, there is this table that is set in front of us. And God sets a table. And I love that he uses even the presence of my enemies. And I think of like hellish experiences. Like, not just like, not like, like enemy as in like my third grade teacher making fun of my shirt, right? That's like, that might be your enemy. Like, oh, that doesn't make me feel good. Like, what is a hellish experience? What is something that's happened to you in the last couple days, last couple years, where it robs you of being present? And what the psalm is saying, even in the midst of a hellish experience, God still creates this table and says, dine with me. There is this invitation to a satisfaction. There's safety and there's satisfaction. That we are okay. That everything we need, God is setting a table and saying, dine with me, even at your lowest low, even at your hardest part of your life, even in your highest joy, God is saying, I got you. Not only are you safe, but you can be content. You can live a full life. There's this Tibetan saying that I just heard that's really good, and I wish I could take all the credit for it, but it says, if you take care of the minutes of your life, the years will take care of themselves. If you take care of the minutes of your life, the years take care of themselves. Meaning, what is the most important minute of your life? What is the most important moment of your life? A lot of us would think, well, it's when I have a kid, or I get married, or when I get this pet, or I get this job, when I pay off my debt, whatever it might be, we think of the future, and the most important moment is right now. And God is saying, in the midst of the anxiety, in the midst of the stress, not only are you safe, but I have every single thing you need. And then where it ends, and in the Message, there's a different translation, in the Message it says, verse 6, your beauty and your love chase after me every day of my life. And I love that, like, this is not literal, just this is a poem, right? It's not like God's love's like, I'm gonna get you, right? I was thinking, like, it chases after, like, I don't want it, leave me alone, I'm coming after you, right? Like a WWE wrestler, right? But what the psalmist is implying, it's painting this bigger truth of everywhere you go, God's love is available. Not only is it safe, not only can we be deeply satisfied, everywhere we go, we're connected. There's a Franciscan priest that said, I don't remember who said it, he said that if the whole world is God's house, then I can be comfortable anywhere. I can show up anywhere and be deeply, deeply connected. And this is how one way it's played out in my life. Again, to bring up the transition, in the last couple months, people have said some really horrible things to me. They've said some really horrible things about me, which is not fine, but I understand, right? Like, what happened is it's a big deal. And people who are hurt, right, are going to, like, remember we talked about squeeze, something comes out, right? Some, including me, got squeezed, things came out that I don't always like. But it's funny, when I was thinking about if I lack nothing, if I'm safe, if I can have this deep satisfaction with God, and I'm deeply connected to this God, I was thinking about when people have said those things, it hurt, right? I won't lie, there's things that have hurt. But it didn't move me. Didn't move me. It moved me emotionally, but I kept thinking, I'm like, I feel like I should want to retreat. I feel like I should be like, oh, what am I, like, it's like something deep down inside me of where the divine lives just felt really, really anchored, saying, okay, I'm safe. Yes, that hurts. Yes, I disagree with you. But everything I need, God is putting this table in front of me. And not just as a church, not just a pastor, but just like starting with me, Chris, as a man. And as I was thinking about and meditating on this, I'm like, God, I'm so thankful that everything I need, that I am safe, that I'm satisfied, I'm deeply connected. Because throughout your life, there's going to be crazy things happening. I just met with some friends of ours we haven't seen for a while, and she kept saying, Chris, I'm old. I'm like, yeah, I know, right? And she's like, no, I'm like, I'm really, really old. Much older than you, Mom, don't worry. So she kept saying, like, I'm old and I have all these truths, right? And we were talking about this whole process, and she said, whatever you think you've experienced, like, she goes, you're almost 40? I'm like, yeah. She goes, no matter what you've experienced before, those are hard things. They won't touch what's going to come next in life. Like, there's going to be horrible things that happen in my life. And she goes, and God is preparing you now, so pay attention, because it's only going to get harder. So if we can really believe that we're safe, that we lack nothing, that we can be present, we can actually be here in this moment, in scarcity or in having way too much, we can still be present and say, I am safe, I can be deeply satisfied, I'm deeply connected. Why? Because there's this incredibly good God. So I'm going to give you, I'm just preparing for, in advance, I'm going to give you some tips. And they're weird, why, right? Things that we can practice of how to be content, how to be present, of how to experience joy. And you will laugh at them, and that's okay. But I've done them, and they work. So you could take it or leave it. And the first one is this. If you feel like you're going to show up to a meeting, you're going to show up to a conversation, you're going to show up to a volleyball game, whatever it might be, and you're feeling robbed of peace, you're feeling robbed of joy because of stress or of fear, and I can't remember, I don't remember who taught me this, but one physical thing you can do is the Superman pose. Has anyone done this before? Right? Who's that? Raise your hand if you've done this before. Yes, it works, doesn't it? And what you do is you put your hand on your chest and you go, and you hold it like this. It's ridiculous, right? 15 to 20 seconds, and I watched Nikki just this past, I don't know if she's in here, but just this past week, I saw her, and she was feeling some anxiety. I'm like, honey, do Superman pose, and all of a sudden she's like, that works. And it does. You know why? And I'm not a doctor. This is Chris' psychoanalysis that doesn't matter, right? But there's something in me when I do it of saying, no, I am strong enough. Something that I say kind of as a joke, but I really believe is, yeah, Chris, you can do hard things. And it's like my body tricking my mind and doing it. Because this, I feel big, I feel strong, I feel confident. And if I really believe I lack nothing, right? If I can show up into that stressful space, into that hard conversation, no matter all those external things moving around, I'm okay. And everything I need is inside of me. It's a beautiful thing. Second thing, the second tip in there is to actually practice joy. Again, 15 to 20 seconds. And I'd encourage you to try this today, especially after the Vikings game. It's probably not going to end well, guys. Let's just, all right? All right? Let's do some soul care, all right? But like to take something and meditate on it for 15 to 20 seconds. When after I read this, I stopped and I have a picture of my buddy Nick and my brother Dano, and I were at this restaurant, and it all just worked out. We're in the cities, and so we went out, and Anna, our friend, got a picture of us all laughing. We're hugging. Woo! And I stared at it for like 20 seconds, and I just felt all the love and the support and the generosity and the kindness from my brother and my friend, and it brought me right back to that night. Was like, we have no cares in the world. I have a lot of cares in the world, but for like, there's moments in life where we had stolen time where it's like, the only thing that matters is right here. And that's a beautiful place to be. So practice, Superman pose, 15, 20 seconds, like focus on one positive thing. And the third one is this, oh, this is so funny. Is it already up there? Okay, put it up there. If you know me, this, you're like, you're a liar, right? I am not a physical touch guy. How do I say that? I am with my wife and my kids, right? that's very important. But I'm not a big, like I need to hug everyone I see. Right? I do hug a lot of people mostly because I know it makes them feel good. I'm very fine with that. But I don't walk around like my life saying, I gotta hug more people, right? I just need to touch strangers more. I need some other people I don't know just to come and rub my face. I don't feel that. Right? This, you know why I bring that up? Because I have noticed in my life that when women have no problem touching each other's face. I'm like, that is odd, all right? It's odd. I have one friend that touches, one friend, Lori Johnson, who cuts my hair. She's the only one that touches the back of my head to put it down. And every time she does it, I giggle. I'm like, you're the only one who does this. But I've learned that I need this, right? And 15 to 20 seconds for me feels like an eternity. And I can get usually past like 3 seconds a hug when I'm hugging someone, right? I'm like, oh, this feels really good. And I'm like, and we're done, right? And they're still hugging. I'm like, oh, sorry, no, we're not done, all right? Right? So to practice it and hold on and stay engaged physically and emotionally, right? Once I get past like second number five, hugging Kira, my daughter, and I just hold her a little bit longer, I can feel that stress. I can feel that anxiety. I can feel some of those things, that fear. I can feel begin to dissipate. And why? Because in this moment, there's no better place to be than hugging my daughter. And sadly, there's a lot of times in my life where I'm like, let's get you out of the house so I can go do the real stuff. Right? You ever feel that way before? And that's a lie. This is the most important moment of my life. This one right here. So like the Superman pose, practicing 20 seconds, hugging, and the last one is this, is pray. And some people, like I have no problem with the word meditate. Some people that like hooks them, call it whatever you want, right? If you don't like, I've learned this, Nikki taught me this, you don't like the word, change it, right? Say it to what works for you, because it's not what you call it, it's how you practice it, right? If it's called walking through the woods yelling at the sky. If that works for you, say, what are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to go walk through the woods and yell at the sky, all right? That might be your version of prayer. But like the thing is, this is something as, especially if you're a Christian, this is something that we talk about, and sometimes it feels like a weapon, right? Well, did you do devotions today? No, I didn't. I'm a horrible human being, all right? Well, are you praying about it? Yeah, I guess I should probably pray more, right? You should on yourself a lot, right? I should pray more. I really should do that more. Instead of like, I said should, by the way. Some of you guys are like, what did he just say? Should. Don't should on yourself, right? Yeah, so you guys are like, that's a weird thing to say right now, right? But when you actually say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you a tip. I've used this before, but my friend Jeff Heidkamp, great friend of mine, he taught this to me probably 12 years ago. If praying feels not just weird, it just feels distant. Like go through seasons of however you're praying, you just don't feel like it's working for you. Here's one that will, like, hope for me, stir some things up. It's this called 3-3-3. I don't have this on my notes, I don't think. 3-3-3. First is this, read three psalms out loud. And that's the key. Because if you're alone by yourself or in your office, it's going to sound weird, right? If you're in a room full of people or by yourself, reading out loud feels like sixth grade English class all over again, right? Do it out loud. Then take 3 minutes and just be quiet and meditate. Just think about the things that you read. That's it. And your brain's going to go everywhere. I'd encourage you to have a timer. 3 minutes. Then stop the timer. Start it again. 3 minutes of praying out loud about the things that you read, the things that you just meditated on. Maybe God might speak to you about something. And then take 3 minutes and just talk to God. And when he said that to me, we were in this room full of other pastors. I'm like, this is stupid. you just made three things up just to sound good, right? Like, oh, why don't you just do this? Yeah, that works, right? And so then the next week, I tried it, and I had this profound experience with the divine. There's something about saying out loud of what I'm thinking about. There's something about reading out loud these truths of I have no needs. I can read in my head, but when I hear myself say it just hits me differently. But the reality is, if you want to practice being here, meditating, walking, praying, however you do it, works. So this is where I leave you. And I threw this in last minute because I feel like maybe some of you need to hear this. If in order to be here, to be present, there's a key ingredient, and that's community. Because we can't do this alone. Like being here present and praying might be something corporate, it might be something personal, but we need a place. And there's two words that we might use, and they're totally different. There's a difference between being accepted and belonging. Acceptance and belonging are two different things. And like, I'm not saying accepting is bad. You're going to be like, we can never use that word again. No. But acceptance often has something to do of I am accepted because I perform. I am accepted because I meet this standard. I am accepted into the school because I made this test. And it has a lot to do with what I do and I don't do. And maybe you've had circles of friends of where I am accepted because I know what to not bring up, right? I'm accepted at work because I don't bring up that the men make more than me, even though we do the same amount of work. I am accepted because I wear the right clothes. I'm accepted because my kids go to the right school. I am accepted because I know the key words. Like, you can fill in the blank. And it is bad. I was going to say, it's not that bad. Yeah, it is bad, but it's normal, right? Belonging is totally different. We have this benevolent God. We have this benevolent universe, is what Rich Rohr calls it. And he wrote a book called Everything Belongs. Everything belongs. And belonging is that you are included. You have value, not because of what you do or don't do, because you exist. And some of you here today, you feel like you're having a hard time maybe being in a friendship, maybe in a marriage, maybe in a church. Maybe how you function or how you identify, you don't feel like, I'd rather just be accepted, but I'll never belong. You belong here, friends. And I can say that because this is the kind of God that we have. When you look at Jesus, we have a Jesus-looking God. Jesus didn't show up and say, well, okay, I'm just going to accept you when you get here. I'm going to accept you if you say the right prayer, right? I'm going to accept you. Like, Jesus didn't come to like shame. He didn't come just to give a bunch of rules. He came to redeem and restore everything. Every inch of this universe, Jesus came. I heard someone say, Jesus didn't come to change God's mind about humanity. It's easy to think that way. Jesus came to change the minds of humans, of humanity about God. Everything belongs. And that includes you. You can be here because it's safe, because you can really experience a satisfied life, and you are deeply, deeply connected. Let's stand and let's pray. Yeah. Man, I feel like I'd talk about that for like another 4 hours, that you belong. And maybe it's just me, I doubt it, but I feel the pressure to put more time into being accepted, because that is like where I have to drive more, be more, so I'm accepted, instead of just being here and saying, no, I already belong. And if you put your energy into I already belong, then you're this newfound energy in this love and this kindness and this generosity and this peace can be used differently, right? If I can just be confident, I already belong, I show up as a different human. So if that's you, and maybe you don't feel like you belong with God, maybe you don't feel like you belong in society, you don't feel like you belong with your friends, whatever it might be, as I pray, if that's you, just own that and realize that, like, this God has put a table for you. Instead of just looking at it and saying, I don't belong here, God is saying, please join me and eat just to receive that. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come. And I ask that you'd help us to be here in this moment right now. With all the feels, with all the stress of all the demands of life. And even like the fear of what is unknown, of what's going to happen next week, what's going to happen next year. Help us be here. And I pray for my friends who, like me, just deal with anxiety or deal with, I have to do more in order to be accepted. I am not content. I will not be okay unless. Help us just to pause and realize that we have no needs because you are a good God. I pray for my friends who are experiencing hellish things. And all they want to do is just hide from the pain. I ask God that you would help us be able to hear the voice of saying, I've prepared a table for you, Chris. I pray for my friends who do not feel that this beauty and this love is chasing them. Maybe you feel like, no, it's chasing everyone else except me. Holy Spirit, will you come? Help us be able to receive that we are deeply connected to you. And where I end up praying again is that we can belong because you have already chosen us. You've already loved us. And so today we sing that song that I belong in the kingdom of God. And thank you for that song, God. We love you. Amen. So I'm going to invite our ministry team. These are people who want nothing but good things for you. And if anything that I've been talking about just feels like, yeah, that was for me, it's really, and this is not a shame, right? I'm saying I do this as well. It's really easy just to be like, okay, let's go watch football or let's go get ready. If there's anything I said that just like hit you in a spot where you're like, I want that, that is the whole reason we have this ministry team. Is there anyone here to pray? Is there someone who can come up and pray for people? Yeah, thank you. So if there's anything that you want prayer for those things, that's why this team exists. Andrew's going to play a little bit more worship. Thank you, friends, for being part of the Neighborhood Church and coming this Sunday. Have a great rest of your day.